See, part of my problem was when I first surrendered to Christ, I prayed the prayer, you know, the Baptist bar mitzvah prayer when I was 12. I asked Jesus to come live in my heart, and I believe it took. And I grew for a few months, but I was raised in a church that really did not preach the word. There was really no follow-up. And so I just drifted away after a few months. And for the next 11 years, did not walk with the Lord, though there was a weird consciousness of his presence. But at 23, I'd come to the place where I was suffering from clinical depression and clinical anxiety. Mental illness has hit me. Boom. There were a lot of issues that fed into that, and but I was there. I was living in Charleston, South Carolina, so closer to here than Selma. And I was the head of the nuclear medicine department. Had a house on Folly Beach right on the water. And I fell apart. And I put everything I could get in my car, and that's all I took, and I left everything behind and went back in to live with my mom because she was the safest person I knew. Because I was done. I wasn't sure what was happening to me or whether I would be institutionalized. I didn't know what was going on. And on the 17th of April, 1976, I remembered the prayer I prayed when I was 12 and reaffirmed that prayer. Now, Therese will say, what I'm about to say, she would say, that's the dumbest thing a person could ever do. And I would say, that's the dumbest thing a person could ever do. But I had the medication that I was given just to keep me surviving. And I didn't have any better sense. And say, okay, Lord, this is it. Either you bring me out of this, and I will have praise your name, or I get institutionalized and your name will be on my lips telling everybody that you aren't who you say you are. Now, I would never tell anybody to do that. You with me? I believe when God heals like that, usually medicine starts making people sick and they check with their doctor and they go, well, let's see what's going on. But I didn't have any better sense. And so God was so gracious to me. But for the next 2 years, I was just hanging on. And I hated myself because there was this problem of weakness. I mean, the gospel says I'm included into the life that Jesus lives and the favor that he's worthy of. And yet, because we still have this humanity, we have these tendencies. We have this proneness towards, there's this weaknesses. There's just these faults. Mine was like fear and other things, anxiety, you know, getting anxious about certain things. And for 2 years, I tried my best to get better. I read every book I could read. I gave it my best shot. But the way my Christian life worked was I would blow it, fail, tell God how sorry I was, beg him not to kill me this time, and then get up and go back and try to go for it more. Promise God more. I'd try harder. See, the law always says, try hard. Grace says, trust him.
Yeah, amen.
But I was trying harder. And then I'd go for a few weeks because guilt is a good motivator for a short period of time. And then you stop feeling guilty and oops, there you go again. And then you had to convince God that you really, really, really meant it this time. And when you in your own mind thought you had convinced him you really meant it this time that you could get up and go on, and then it just gets worse and worse as time went on. And through a series of circumstances, you know, walking through this whole thing of I discovered, I got real revelation that Christ alone could live the Christian life. That I had been included into his life. There was this mutual indwelling. I lived in him. He lived in me. And Jesus Christ wanted to live a victorious Christian life for me. This was in 1978. It was the beginning of spring of 1978. And that was the most liberating, extraordinary thing I'd ever heard in my life. Jesus Christ living his life through me. How glorious that would be just for Christ to zip himself up in my humanity and do my day. But what I was convinced of is because I had so many weaknesses that he couldn't live that life through me unless I got rid of them. I had to get healed of them. I was a bent can. And Jesus couldn't manifest his life through a bent can. So I had this step, I hate to use the word step, but there was this like thing that happened where I got revelation that Christ alone could live the Christian life. And I thought that was the most amazing thing I'd ever heard. Yes, I would tell people about it, but I wasn't experiencing it. But even though I knew it was true, it was like this wonderful theory that I believed in, but I was too messed up. And if I could just get my act together, if I could just get some healing of some sort, then Jesus could live through me. I was kind of like Paul. I was begging God, and a lot more than three times, please take all these fears and things away from me. I want to experience this. Don't show me that you came, that I might have life and have it more abundantly, and then hold it out like a carrot, yet I can't experience it because I've got so many faults. It was almost like cruel. But I did have enough sense to realize that if Jesus said, I came that you might have life and have it more abundantly, and if I wasn't experiencing it, it wasn't his fault. Yeah, amen. There was something I wasn't getting. And then what I got, this is why these are my life verses. I heard this in begging for over a 2-year period. I finally heard Christ say, my grace is sufficient for you. Chuck, the burden is on me to live this life, not on you. And your weaknesses don't disqualify you from experiencing this life. He said, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in your weakness. Now, he didn't say my grace could be sufficient for you. He did not say my grace might be sufficient for you. He didn't say my grace could be, would be, should be. He says, my grace is sufficient for you. And then when he said, and in your weakness, my strength was made perfect, I realized that my weaknesses didn't unposture me. They were the very thing that postured me. They were the missing ingredient. That I might know his power, his ability, being made perfect through my life. See, that word power, you've heard this before, is the word dunamis. But in the common Greek language, it just meant ability. But in the Bible, it's talking about God's ability. That's practical to me. Chuck, in all the your I can'ts, I can. In your weakness, my strength is made perfect. I'm not going to tell you I'm going to take away your fear. I'm going to double cross the enemy. And as long as you're bent towards grace, as long as you're trusting the sufficiency of my grace, me taking on as a free gift, the burden of your Christian life being lived, your inclusion into the life that I live, and the favor I'm worthy of, as you walk in that, as you trust me for that, instead of me taking away your fear, I'll exchange your fear for my courage. In any area of your life where you don't have strength and you don't have ability, I'll manifest my ability. But your weaknesses are this gift that keep you bent towards grace. What the enemy tries to do is to get you bent towards yourself. That's the law. Your self-sufficiency. So because then you get your eye on grace. And you're trying your best to do for him what he wants to do through you by his best. And there's a huge difference.
Yeah.